I hope that you are enjoying your Mother's Day so far. Mother's Day is a fun day for many of us. What you may not have thought about is Mother's Day is actually a very hard day for some people. Mother's Day is hard for children because you're desperately trying to do the things you should do every day of the year, but that you're very out of practice at. And so if that's you, hopefully you are going to treat today as practice for all the future days to demonstrate love to your mother. A Mother's Day can be hard for women who wish they had children and don't have them yet. And if that is you, it is true that waiting is hard, and I would just encourage you to rest in God's sovereignty and to trust in His timing. Mother's Day can be hard for women who other people think should have children, and it is hard to meet other people's expectations. And so if that is you, I would encourage you again to remember God's love for you, to remember that God is working in your life in His timing, and to rejoice in the blessings God has given us. Mother's Day is hard for dads as well. I mean, who knew that flower shops were closed at midnight on Saturday? And where do we keep all of our cooking supplies? Why are they hidden away in closets? Of course, the bigger questions like how much butter and sugar do you add to Pillsbury cinnamon rolls? Do these eggs come pre-seasoned? And of course, Mother's Day is probably hardest for mothers. You know, how do you hold a family together, cook breakfast, brush teeth, get clothes on, get dressed, get buckled in the car, all while pretending that you're not doing any work? Because after all, it is Mother's Day. And then you get to church, and now it's the preacher's turn to be stressed because, you know, do I exhort mothers and then they're upset because they wanted to be encouraged, or do I encourage mothers and they're upset because they wanted to be exhorted? Maybe I challenge the fathers and kids. I thought I would start with something lighthearted today. I actually did a little internet research and found the top things that we learned from our mothers. And if you don't like these mothers, it's not you, it's the other moms we're talking about. So my mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me to pray. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me irony. If I told you once, I told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me humor. If you fall out of that tree and break both of your legs, don't come running to me. My mother taught me genetics. You are just like your father. My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until that spinach is gone. And lastly, my mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in the world than you who don't have wonderful parents like you do. Well, all humor aside, we really do learn an amazing amount from our mothers. We owe a lot to our mothers. Our mothers had a lot to do with us becoming the person that we are today. Your mom was there when you fell, and she was there when you learned to walk. And when you fell, maybe your mom gave you a kiss and told you she loved you, or maybe she told you to toughen up and quit crying and you'll be okay. But either way, your mom was probably trying to tell you that she loves you and she wants the best for you. But for all of us, our moms worked incredibly hard to transform us into the person we have become today. Being a mom is a full-time, lifelong commitment. There are days where the work never seems to end, and there are nights where the sleep never begins. You pour out your life and soul to care for children who have no idea how much you have given up and sacrificed in order to raise them. As one person said, it's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it. And as I thought about what we should look at together on Mother's Day, I tried to decide what fits best with moms, what would be a blessing to moms and to all of us who have a mom, what's a fitting word for moms. And I thought, when I think of a mother, what one word comes to mind? I think the word that best defines a mother is love. So I thought it'd be encouraging if we spent some time today looking at what God tells us about love, So please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to this church at Corinth. Paul had started this church, and even while he was there, before he left, there were already problems. And then he left, and there were even more problems. And so this letter to the Corinthians is kind of a hard letter. There are serious divisions in the church. There are people filing lawsuits against other Christians in the church. There is gross sexual immorality happening in the church. And the church is not only allowing that sin to continue, but actually praising it. They're arrogant about it. There's confusion about marriage, and so Paul deals with marriage. People are demanding their own rights, even at the offense of other people. There's idolatry within the church. Members of the church are mishandling their spiritual gifts. And so when we get to the end of chapter 12, it's clear this church has major problems and needs a lot of help. And so Paul says in the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12, I will show you a still more excellent way. And then Paul gives us some of the most beautiful words on love that have ever been written. That better way is the way of love. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13 together, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's go to our great God in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we know love because you came down to earth and gave your life as a ransom and died in the place of sinners like us. You demonstrated the ultimate kind of love for your people. So we love because you first loved us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We ask that as we look at this passage this morning, we would be exhorted and challenged, that we would be encouraged. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you that you send your Spirit to empower us, to enable us, to give us understanding. Holy Spirit, give us understanding this morning. Open our hearts to your truth, that we might respond in worship, we might glorify the Father and the Son, that the entire Godhead would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage divides into three sections, and we're going to focus on the middle section. The first three verses talk about the priority of love, and the last verses 8 through 12 explain the permanence of love. Verses 4 through 7, where we'll spend most of our time, are a portrayal of love. And just as a reminder, Paul wrote this passage to this church at Corinth to challenge the whole church to love one another. And so as we study this passage, all of us can learn how we should love each other. Because it's Mother's Day, I'm especially going to focus application on mothers and add some comments for the rest of us. could really say this morning's sermon is a topical sermon. The topic is love. I chose 1 Corinthians to talk about love. And so I'm not going to try and unpack every truth in this passage. I'm focusing on love, specifically the love of a mother. If you're hoping for a detailed discussion on tongues and prophecies, which is addressed here, we're going to save that for another day. Or you can ask me about it afterwards, and then I'll tell you we'll save it for another day. Let's look briefly at the priority of love. Verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I thought mothers would be able to appreciate this verse because it fits so perfectly with children. If you have ever had a toddler or known a toddler, you know that they do, in fact, speak in tongues. Of men or of angels, we know not. They just babble along in their little private love language until they learn ours. So you know about speaking in tongues. And how often have those little objects of your love literally been noisy gongs and clanging cymbals? All right, thanks to the aunt and uncle for that wonderful birthday present. It was so cute on their birthday when they were banging it. It's a little less exciting later. But that's what payback is for. Just kidding. In the Bible, speaking in tongues was a gift that enabled a person to speak in a language they didn't previously know and to be understood by someone who spoke that language. The clearest example is in Acts 2. The disciples are given the gift of the Holy Spirit and they immediately begin speaking in other tongues, other languages, and the people in the audience who are from all different nations, all different tongues, they all hear them in their own language. It's a pretty awesome gift. And our passage says that speaking in tongues but not having love is a loud nuisance. Love is greater. Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So if I am the world's most powerful preacher, I am able to discern all sorts of mysteries and knowledge, and my faith is so powerful I could tell that mountain to be moved and it would throw itself into the sea. And if I could do all that, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Love is better than eloquence, knowledge, or even great faith. Love is greater. Verse 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Even if I'm the most generous person in the world, even if I give up my body to be destroyed and burned on your behalf, if I sacrifice my body, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is greater. And what we see is love has priority over other gifts. Love is preeminent. Love is greater. And so mothers, when you demonstrate love to your children, you're demonstrating the highest of gifts. There may be days that you worry about the things you cannot provide for your children. Maybe you cannot buy them the clothes you wish you could give them. Maybe you think you're not smart enough. Maybe you can't give them their own room. Maybe you can't give them safety. Maybe you can't teach them well enough. Do not worry about the things you cannot give your children. Do not stress about the things that you do not have. Give them your love. Tell them you love them and show them what love means. Your love is a far better gift than any other gift you might give them. And for all of us, let me give us two thoughts. First, have you thanked your mother for her love? She doesn't love you because you deserve her. You don't. She loves you because you are her child. She loves you because you are hers. So have you thanked her? And second, are you pursuing love as a priority? Do you love your mom who has given so much for you? Do you love the people around you? And specifically, as the passage was talking about, do you love your church? That was the original challenge. Love one another. Love God's people. I want to skip the middle section for a minute and look at the last several verses, then we'll come back to the middle. Verse 8, this is the permanence of love. love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. There really are some glorious truths here. We're not going to take the time to get into all of them today. But the big picture of what Paul is saying is that all gifts, all virtues will end except love. Prophecy ends. The gift of tongues ends. Knowledge ends. Love never ends. Everything we have now is only partial, but one day perfection will come. We see things now like a child sees things, an incomplete picture. It isn't that a child can't see and know and understand things. It is that there is so much more to the picture than a child is capable of comprehending. It's like trying to look at the reflection in a foggy mirror. Right? It's not entirely clear. And that's how we see reality. Not entirely clear. But one day, Christians will know fully, just as God fully knows us. Prophecy will end because we will see our God. Tongues will end because we will all speak the same language. And I hate to tell you this, but it's not going to be English. But you'll know it, whatever it is. There will no longer be varying degrees of knowledge because we will all know God as fully as he allows us to know him. But we will all love God, and we will love him fully for everyone who knows him. Everything else comes to an end, but love never ends. Love is permanent. Paul concludes in verse 13 with the greatest virtues and then proclaims love to be the greatest virtue. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith is pretty important, right? We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ and his work on our behalf. Faith is essential today. Hope is pretty important. It's mentioned over 80 times in the New Testament. We are commanded to have hope, a confident expectation in God's promises. But faith and hope will come to an end. Faith will end when faith becomes sight. Hope will end when all of God's promises are fulfilled and there's nothing future for which to hope. Right? That day is coming when you'll see your Savior face to face. No more faith is needed. No more hope is needed. All God's promises will be fulfilled. And then all that's left for you on that day is love. Love for your Savior. Love for the one who died for you. Love for the one who paid the price for sin. If you trust him for your sin, he paid for your sin. Love is permanent. Love is eternal. Love never ends. And so, moms, when you love your children, you are practicing that virtue which God says never ends. And you're demonstrating for your children the kind of love that God has for his children. Right, moms, when you love your children in the midst of their sinning against you, you are showing them the eternal love that God has. When you love your child when they have throw up running down their front and something else running down their back, you are demonstrating the unconditional love that God has for his children. For all of us, faith is essential, hope is fundamental, but love never ends. You may say you have faith in Jesus Christ, but do you love him? You may say you have hope in God's promises, but do you love God? Do you love God for who he is and what he has done and what he is doing right now in your life? Do you love Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I command you. So are you obeying the commands of Jesus? Well, here's a command that all of us on Mother's Day especially should remember, and every day: honor your father and your mother. So are you honoring your mother because you love her and because you love Jesus? And again, not just today, but every day. If you love Jesus, you will obey his commands. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the people of Jesus? We are called to love. And your mom is a good example of that kind of love. I'd like to spend the remainder of our time in verses 4 through 7, a portrayal of love. Paul tells us what love is and what love is not. He tells us what love does and what love does not. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Paul begins with love is patient and kind. And patience here carries the idea of long-suffering. Love takes a lot of abuse and keeps on loving. Love gives all the time that is needed to get where you need to go. It doesn't demand immediate results. This doesn't mean that love is indifferent. Love does correct wrong. It does not overlook wrong. But love deals with wrongdoing in a patient and kind way. Love is kind. That is, love is thoughtful and considerate. Love extends good to others. Love extends kindness. Well, is there a better description for a mother than patient and kind? Now, kids, you may not realize this, actually adults too, but there was a day when your mom probably cleaned your bottom more than 10 times. And she desperately wanted you to figure out how to take care of that yourself in the potty. And eventually you did. But in the meantime, your mom was patient and kind toward you for as long as it took. And your mom is patient and kind towards you every day. Your mom deserves, or our moms deserve, so much from us, and yet we give so little to them in comparison. And yet our moms just go on loving us with patience and kindness. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. There are a number of contrasts in this section. Envy and boasting are flip sides of the same coin. Envy regrets the success of others. And boasting revels in my own success. So both envy and boasting are based on pride. Envy is when I'm upset that you get something that I deserve. And boasting is being upset or proclaiming very loudly what I deserve and have. So when we are envious, we are desiring beyond reasonableness what they have. It's great to admire what other people have, to be thankful for them. But when we get resentful of what they have, that admiration has turned into sinful envy. I am upset that you have been honored or received recognition or a prize that I think I deserve. Envy is coveting what others have. Boasting is pride, is proclaiming, look what I've done, look what I've got, look who I am. Boasting declares my conceit. And so both envy and boasting are based on pride. I either deserve better than everyone and I don't have it, or everyone look at how great I am. Don't you wish you had what I have? Love does not envy or boast. A mom doesn't envy when her children find success. She may envy when other moms find success, but she rejoices in the success of her own children because she loves them. You know, if a dad plays a game with his son, he probably mocks his son when he beats him. A mom, on the other hand, doesn't boast that she's stronger than her children or faster than her children or a better cook than her children. She may boast about her children to others, but she doesn't boast to her children that she is greater than them because she loves them. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Arrogance is another word for pride, viewing oneself too highly, an inflated view of yourself. Pride is exalting yourself above your proper place. And pride results in any other number of sins as well, because you're placing yourself in position that only others deserve or only God deserves. Instead of arrogance, love is humble. Being rude is being inconsiderate towards others, and that may look different in different cultures, but the basis of rudeness is to not treat people the way that we ought to treat them. Rudeness shows disrespect for others. Instead of being rude, love is gracious and kind. Love is not arrogant or rude. And moms are so often demonstrating of this kind of love. Mom doesn't tell you she is better than you. A mom demonstrates respect for others. It does not insist on its own way. Let's say love is not selfish or self-seeking. Love follows the example of Christ and considers others more important than itself. So love is self-humbling and God-exalting. I will joyfully give up my own way so that I can allow you to have your way. You know, today you may take your mom to her favorite restaurant or cook her favorite food or go watch her favorite movie. The other 364 days of the year, your mom watches your favorite movie, cooks food you like, goes out to restaurants you enjoy, and in a thousand ways gives up her own desires for the sake of yours so that you can be satisfied. Love is not irritable or resentful. A person who is irritable is easily angered. This is an argumentative person. An irritable person quickly becomes defensive and upset. Love is not irritable because love is slow to anger. A resentful person keeps a record of wrongs. To resent someone is to keep track of all the offenses they've committed against you and to dislike them for it. Well, love is not irritable or resentful. If our moms were easily angered, we might not still be alive. If our moms kept a record of our wrongs, it would be a very long list. And yet moms are forgiving and kind because love is not irritable or resentful. Verse 6, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Wrongdoing means practicing evil, doing wrong. True love doesn't celebrate sin. True love never rejoices in sin. Instead, love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices when right is believed. Love rejoices when right is done. Love rejoices not when we live in sin, but when we live according to truth. You know, I've never seen a mom rejoice in wrongdoing. You'll never guess what happened. Johnny lied to me today. I knew this day would come. Susie stole her first candy bar. If you ever wonder why it makes your mom sad to see you sin, it is because she does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It is because your mom loves you that she disciplines you and helps you learn to do and to believe and think what is right. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love bears all things. Love is willing to endure all kinds of mistreatment. Love bears the sins of others without sharing those sins with the outside world. The idea of bearing is like a building structure that supports the roof, or like a boat that holds out the water. And the picture is that love is able to hold up against that weight of offense or to hold tight against those pressures of offense and mistreatment. Love bears all offenses, not sharing those offenses with others, but forgiving the offender. Love endures against hardship. Again, this is the love that a mother has. A mother bears all of our offenses against her. Love believes all things. To believe all things means that you believe the best about the one you love. It does not mean that you believe something you know to be false, but it does mean that you don't have suspicion when there is no reason for suspicion. You assume the best about the person you love. You believe the best about the person you love. Love is giving the benefit of the doubt. If we simply believed the best about others, oftentimes we would be in much better shape. And isn't that a mom? Moms believe the best about us. You know, no matter how smart you are, your mom probably thought you could be a rocket scientist when you grew up if you wanted to be. Moms believe the best. Love hopes all things. Believing all things and hoping all things are very similar. Hope means a confident expectation. So love has a confident expectation that the person you love is pursuing right. Even when everyone else gives up on a person, love hopes for the best. Love is optimistic for the person it loves. And again, that is the love of a mother. A mother believes in her child. A mother never wants to assume her child is doing wrong. A mother hopes for the best. A mother believes the best. Love endures all things. This is similar to bearing all things. It's easy to love when we are loved, but true love endures even when it is difficult. Love is willing to continue loving even in the midst of offense and sin. Love presses on when it is difficult. Love endures all things. Lastly, love never ends. Love never ends. True love does not quit loving for any reason. True love takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Love does not end because love is not contingent on the object of love. Love never ends because love is a commitment of the heart. And this is certainly the love of a mother. The love of a mother never ends. There's nothing you could do that would make your mother stop loving you. And just to be clear, that was not a challenge to pursue. But your mom's love will stand the test of time. Let me say a few closing words to mothers and to all of us. Mothers, I hope that you are encouraged as you hear about true love. There are many ways that you love your children exactly in the way God calls us to love. And when you do love your children like that, it is a gift of God. God has given you the love that he requires of you. In fact, we know that all true love is a gift from God. The Apostle John tells us that we love because God first loved us. And so I hope our moms are encouraged as we look at the biblical portrayal of love. But moms, I would assume too that as you heard this portrayal of love, there were some ways and certain days that you know your love does not add up to this picture of love. Some days, patience runs short and kindness runs thin. Some days, maybe you do envy what you think others have and boast in that which you do have. You may discover yourself at times to be arrogant and rude. Some days, it is your way or the highway. Some days, you may be irritable and resentful. On certain occasions, you may find wrongdoing to be humorous and the truth to be a little uncomfortable. Some days you cannot bear up anymore. You don't believe the best. You just hope to survive, and you're not sure you can endure any longer. And on those days, I want you to remember two things. Remember that there is someone who loves you infinitely more than you love your own children. And remember that even more than your children need your love, they need to know the love of Jesus. to remember there is someone who loves you infinitely more than you love your children. When you do not love your children as you should, when you do not love your husband as you should, look to Jesus Christ. Jesus loves his people in all of these ways, with no failings at all time, no shortcomings. And Jesus told his disciples that there's no greater love than to go and lay down one's life for his friends. And then Jesus went and took that one step up and demonstrated a love yet greater. He went and died for his enemies and made them his friends. And if you have turned from your sin and trust in Jesus for salvation, he is your friend. So when your love falls short, repent of your failings and look to Jesus as the Savior who loves completely. And for those who have trusted in Christ as Savior, when you do not love enough, Jesus completes your love. When your love falls short, Jesus' love is infinite. Jesus loves with a perfection of love that we only dream of having. Jesus died to forgive you of sin and to make you love him and to make you love others. And his love is true love. And so when you're sacrificing your life every day for your children, remember that Jesus Christ laid down his life for you first. And when you look at your children with a heart full of love, know that God first loved you. But also remember that even more than your children need your love, they need to know and experience the love of Jesus. You are called as a mom to love your children, but you cannot save your children. Your love for your children cannot save them. Your lack of love for your children will not destroy them. When you demonstrate the best kind of love for your children, help them see that there is one who loves them even more than you. And when your love falls short, help them see that there is one whose love never fails. Your children do not need the perfect mom. They need to know the only person who ever was perfect in every way. And for those of us who are not mothers, I hope that as we looked at this passage of Scripture together today, you saw the many ways in which your mother truly has loved you, even if there were times she fell short. Your mom is not perfect. She's a sinner like the rest of us, but she is perfect for you. And God gave her to demonstrate love to you, to prepare you for life, and to train you to honor God. And so if your mother is alive, make sure that you thank her for how much she has loved you and loves you today. Make sure that Mother's Day is not the only day that you honor your mother. We should honor our mother every day. Thank God for your mother and the role she's played in your life. Thank God for his rich blessings to us. I hope as we studied this passage today, you were challenged by what true love looks like. This passage applies to mothers. I think mothers love well, but this passage is for all of us. We are all called to love with this kind of love. Seek to learn and understand and practice true love. And lastly, I hope as we studied this passage, we were all convicted of how often our love falls short. And when we see our own failures, when we see our own shortcomings, that we see the greatness of Jesus. He is the ultimate picture of true love. There is no greater love than the love of Jesus. He died to make us holy. He died to set us free. He died to make us his friends. And he died to make us his own. So we must turn from our sin and trust in Jesus and love him. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Let's go to the God of love in prayer. God our Father, you tell us that you are love. There is no true love outside of you. We know love because you first loved us. You tell us how to love. You give us the perfect picture of love in yourself, and yet too often we fall short. So Lord, help us to love one another. I ask that you would encourage our moms with the love they do have and challenge them to love still more. Lord, for all of us, when we fall short of your picture of love, help us to run to Jesus, to cling to Jesus, who is perfect in love and perfect in all things. Lord, we love you. Help us to demonstrate that love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.